Friends, it is a real joy to be with you this morning. It's always good to come to Dollingstown and to Marilyn, but it's especially good to be here this morning for Emma's introduction. I've known Emma for longer than most people here, probably apart from her parents and a few others that may be here this morning as well to cheer her on. Emma was part of Willowfield Church, where she was a very hard-working volunteer, and then she moved to be part of a little church plant that we did up in the Braniel estate, where she was involved in setting up a new children's work and a new youth work and a brand new worshipping congregation, actually. Then she went off to train for ordination in Dublin and did her deacon's year here. So you obviously did something right that she wanted to come back again. And we do welcome her back this morning. And for this past 3 years, Emma has been the curate in the St. Patrick's group of churches in Ballymena, which is a mixed economy of churches. There's rural, there's Ballymena town or city or whatever it is nowadays itself. They keep turning towns into cities, so it's hard to keep up with it. Ballymena hasn't got there yet, I don't think, but I'm sure they're wanting to, and there's probably a politician with a well-known name that's canvassing for it as well. But Emma, it's great to have you with us today and over this next season. And it is a new season. Friends, it is a new season for you here in Dollingstown and for Marilyn. And I want to begin maybe by suggesting why I think it's a bit of a new season for you. First of all, you don't need me to tell you that we've been through 2 years of lockdowns, of restrictions, of closed church buildings, of doing things online, of heartache, of challenges, and indeed of blessings as well. But that we are, I really do believe, in a season where we need to be rebooting the life of our church for what lies ahead. And the phrase reboot is a phrase that I borrowed actually from someone else. It's not my own original phrase. It's not about restoring. It's not about going back to what was before. But it's actually about rebooting the church so that we actually engage with the mission and ministry that God is calling us to in this new season. I do believe too, as I've been praying about today and thinking about today and thinking generally about the church, but actually thinking particularly about this church here in Dollingstown and the church in Marilyn as well, that God is asking you as a congregation to really re-engage in evangelism, to really put evangelism at the very top of your agenda. And I believe God gave me a little phrase, and it's a phrase that actually is used to describe an organization that exists, Every Home Crusade, that's what you're to be about as a parish, that every home, in your parish, and maybe even beyond, are homes that you're to be reaching towards, and homes that you're to be bringing the presence of God into, homes that you're to be bringing the truth of God to bear upon the lives of the people who lives in those homes. Every Home Crusade. Also, sensed and prayed about the two churches, this church in Dollingstown and the church in Marilyn. I really do believe that you need to be asking God to give you a very clear strategy for mission and for ministry, and then pursuing it and following it and tracking what God would have you to do. And the danger of a service like today, where we're going to be commissioning Emma, is that it becomes all about Emma, or it becomes all about those that are employed to do ministry. But actually, mission and ministry is for all of us. And that needs to be more than just a cliche, but something that we really own and something that we grasp in these days. So I want us to turn to the reading that was read. If it could be up on the screen again, just that would be great. If not, follow it maybe in your own Bibles, on your phones, or wherever you can find it. But the first thought that as we turn to today's reading is this, that we're to be a people who are led by the Holy Spirit. Now, the key word in all my few thoughts this morning is the word holy. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of talk in the church today, in the wider church in the world, that about us being led and shaped by the Spirit. But it's often the spirit of the age. And we actually need to be led by the Holy Spirit. I remember back in the day, those of you who are around a long time will remember Roland Hutchinson, who was rector here way, way back in the distant past when I was a boy with black hair and all the rest. And Roland made a very famous speech one year at Diocesan Synod. He was renowned for making the odd outrageous speech that were full of truth. And he made this particular speech at Diocesan Synod, and there was a lot of debate going on at the Synod that year about the church needing to grow, the church needing to thrive, the church needing to engage with those outside the church needing to make a significant impact on society, on villages and towns and cities. And Roland got up to the platform, and those of you who knew him can just picture it. He says, "You cannot do spiritual work with unspiritual people. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit." And we do as a church. We really do as a church. And Emma, as you're commissioned this morning, the work that you're being commissioned to is a work that needs to be led and governed and overruled by the work of the Holy Spirit. And He is the Holy Spirit. And the writer of Hebrews begins here by saying, "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no future messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." What an awesome picture of God's Holy Spirit on that mountain, that a holy God present on Mount Sinai. A picture of the glorious authority and glory and power and authority of God, a holy God on Mount Sinai. The writer of Hebrews is referring back to some words from Exodus in chapter 19, where it says, "Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder." What an awesome picture of a God of glory and authority and power. And it says, "And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai." What did that mean? The Lord came down on Mount Sinai. Oh, that the Lord would come down on the village of Darlingstown. That the Lord would come down on the homes all around this parish. And we read here, "And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain. Moses went up, and there God spoke to Moses." We see here the presence of a holy God on a mountain, to the extent that actually the mountain is made holy. And God gives instruction on that mountain to His people, and He uses His servant Moses to give instruction to His people. May God use you, Emma, to speak His word and His truth into the lives of many, many people here in these parishes. First of all, we see in this reading that we are dependent upon the work and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, be a church as we move forward and be a leader, Emma, and all of us together be a people who are governed by God's holy word. It struck me as I prepared for this morning that the Bible used to be referred to way back when Adam was a boy again as the Holy Bible. You seldom hear that phrase nowadays, or at least not in the circles I move in anyway. You seldom hear the phrase the Holy Bible. You hear the phrase the Bible, but seldom the phrase the Holy Bible. And I wonder, actually, are we losing something of the sense of the authority and the truth of God's Word? God's Word is holy. And God who spoke His Word is to be feared. And we must listen to His Word. Emma, preach His Word. Preach it boldly, preach it clearly, and preach it expecting results, expecting lives to be changed by it. We read here, back in the book of Exodus again, referring, pointing forward to these words in Hebrew, when the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. They stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen." Many a preacher and many a rector would long to hear their congregation say that instead of complaining about the length of the sermons. You speak to us and we will listen. That needs to be our heart attitude in the church today. And friends, we do need to be a church that really listens clearly and intently in a way that we want to hear and we want to be shaped and we want to be transformed by God's Word. Now, I'm going to say something that I want you to really hear here in Dollingstown and in Marlin this morning. You have among you in this church some of the best Bible expositors. I'm not going to name them. Some of the best Bible expositors that you'll find on the island of Ireland and even beyond. You have among you in this church such men and women, okay? And you need to really know that. But there's a danger that comes with that. And the danger that comes with that is that we become very, very familiar with listening and less familiar with obeying or doing. And it's a very, very high danger, I think, for these parishes, quite truthfully. And it's a danger that you need to be very, very aware of and address, all of us address, in our own hearts and in our own lives. That we don't just become those who can sort of weigh up a sermon, decide whether it's good or not so good, whether it's as good as last Sunday's when somebody else preached or whatever, but actually that we really hear the Word of God and we're really shaped by the Word of God and transformed by the Word of God and live our lives under the rule of the Word of God. Don't enjoy sermons and listening to God's Word too much. God's Word is around and is here to comfort the disturbed, but also God's Word is supposed to disturb the comfortable. And I do think that there's a little bit too much comfort in Christian circles today that does need to be disturbed. And the Word of God does disturb the comfortable. Be a church that obeys God's Word. Please, please, please be a church that just doesn't listen to God's Word, but that actually does it out in the street, in your workplace, in your home, among your families, among your friends, among strangers. Do the work that God's Word tells us to do. Heal the sick. Drive out demons. Live a clean and a holy life. Be different to those around us in society. And live by different standards. A church is led by the Holy Spirit. A church that obeys God's word. And thirdly, a church that's infused by God's life-giving holy presence. His holy presence. The presence of God is holy. Jesus is alive and risen from the dead. Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, and he does intercede for us. And our prayers do unite with his prayers, and prayers do get to be answered, and the sick do get to be healed, and demons do get to be driven out, and God's kingdom does come, and lives do get to be changed and transformed and made holy and made different. We read here, verses 22 to 24, "You've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." The Savior who bore our sins on the cross, now raised to life again and seated with his Father in glory. The words of the song, "There's power in the blood," are true. There's cleansing, there's washing, there's forgiveness, there's new life. Emma, you're a dealer in new life. You really are. We all are. We're to lead people to Christ who gives new life, new beginnings, forgiveness. Enables women and men to be born again and transformed and changed, to become disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus. We carry his presence, his life-giving presence. We bring his presence with us when we go into a home and when we're confronted maybe with division or hurt or anger. His presence can bring healing and reconciliation and new life and a new beginning. His presence can transform a situation. His presence can transform a life. His presence will bring healing to sick bodies, to disturbed minds, to wayward lives. And when you lead worship and when you lead people in worship, we lead them into God's presence. When you guys lead songs, you don't just sing songs, you lead people into God's presence. There's a difference between saying prayers and praying. There's a big difference too between singing songs and really worshiping. Because our worship gets to be caught up with the worship of the angels and the archangels and the saints in glory. Heaven comes down among us and we get caught up in the worship of heaven, and transformation happens. Transformation happens when the people of God come together, when we meet together in his name. Emma, lead people into his presence. Introduce men and women and children and young people to his presence. Expect his presence to change lives. John Stott put it beautifully when he said, "God is the universal sovereign, and all must fall before him. But Jesus the mediator is present as well as judge. Moses the mediator of the old covenant trembled with fear, but through the ministry of Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, we draw near with confidence." We can come into his presence with confidence, and women and men and young people can be forgiven and cleansed and made brand new, and lives turned right around. There's washing, cleansing, forgiveness. He makes people new again. Friends, we need to recapture that the gospel transforms lives. Somebody crudely put it, God doesn't make us comfortable in the pigsty. He takes us out of the pigsty and washes us down and cleanses us, gives us a new scent. If you ever smelled pigs, you'd know that you needed a new scent. Gives us a new heart, a new life, transformation. New birth is how the scriptures describe it. Be a woman, be a man, be a church that actually sees people transformed by the presence, the holy presence of a holy God, which leads, fourthly, that we become a holy people. I was for 12 days at the Lambeth Conference, which is a gathering of bishops from 167 nations, about 650 bishops there, about two-thirds of the bishops from the whole of the Anglican Church worldwide. And we were studying every morning the book of 1 Peter. And there's a verse in 1 Peter that I love and that I've loved for over 40 years. It's verse 18 of chapter 3, where it says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." And Morris Wood was bishop of, I think, Norwich, and he, before that, was the principal of a theological college. Now, I don't think that this happened to you guys. Certainly wasn't my experience when I was in the theological college in Dublin. But Morris Wood would put all the students on a train, and he would give them a return ticket. But he would say to them, there's a wasp somewhere. He would say to them, come back to the college after you've spoken to several people and hopefully led somebody to Christ on the journey. I don't remember that experience being mine in college, but actually it really ought to be the experience of a church, that when we go out, when we go door to door, when we go into homes, when we go into our workplaces on a Monday morning, when we sit down with friends, that actually we will see people responding to the presence of God, that we will have the opportunity to lead people to Christ. Emma, lead men and women to Christ. Do the work of an evangelist. Simon, all of you as a congregation, it's not just up to them to be the two evangelists. We're to be a church full of people who lead others to Christ. So a holy people who lead others into the holiness of God. And finally, the work to which we're called is a holy work. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. This is things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken remain. What we're entrusted with as a church is people's eternal destiny. The cars driving up and down past are full of men and women and children who are either going to heaven or going to hell. The homes in which people live, all the hundreds, thousands nowadays of homes that there are in the parish of Dollingstown and in the parish of Marilyn, I deliberately used that phrase, by the way. The parish of Dollingstown and the parish of Marilyn. The homes of the hundreds and the thousands that are in those homes are either going to heaven or going to hell. And you and I, all of us, are tasked with the task of seeing lives transformed. Men and women brought to Christ. It's our privilege. It's our joy. It's our challenge. And it's the holy work. The holy work to which we are called and to which you, Emma, are about to be commissioned afresh. It's a holy work. Last week, Hilary and I, on our way home from Lambeth, called in to visit an elderly couple, a couple called David and Mary Pitches. David was a missionary bishop in South America for, I think, 19 years, and then led a church called St. Andrew's Chorley Wood on the outskirts of London for a good number of years. It wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that under David's leadership and because of his influence that there would be a three-figure number at least of people who are in ministry, who are ordained or missionaries overseas because of his leadership and his ministry. Probably more. It wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that there are tens of thousands of people that came to Christ. Probably much more than that, indirectly, who came to Christ through his ministry. And we sat and we talked for an hour. He's very frail nowadays, and his wife Mary is very tired from looking after him. She's in her mid-late 80s probably. He's in his early 90s. And he kept saying something. He kept saying this to me. He said, you know, people keep asking me what my secret was of the things that the Lord did. What was the secret? And he said, I didn't have a secret. Didn't have any secret. I simply looked around. I simply looked around, tried to see what God was doing, and joined in. Emma, take a good look around. Simon, take a good look around. Darlingstown Church, take a good look around because God is moving. God is doing many things, wonderful things. Take a good look around. See what God is doing. And then join in. Join in and go for it. Go for it. Go after his kingdom, led by his Holy Spirit, governed by his holy word, aware that we carry his holy presence in order that we might make for him a holy people, and that day by day we would do a holy work. Look around. See what God is doing, Darlingstown. And join in. Please stand. Lord, please send in a fresh way upon all of us in these days your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and rest and minister to your church and to your people. Come and anoint this church. Reboot this church, as it were, for the work of mission. May we be led together by your Holy Spirit. Give us a new desire to do all that your holy word tells us to do. So fill us, Lord, so fill us. Fill us. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Fill us afresh. Fill us again. Fill us more and more and more with your holy presence. Make us a truly holy church, we pray. And Holy Spirit, send us out to do a holy work. Spirit, come down. Holy Spirit, come down. Holy Spirit, come down. Amen.